Billy Graham's a better preacher than anybody else. Why don't we just let him do the job for all of us? One global satellite hookup, one huge primetime presentation, and none of the rest of us would have to experience the terror of witnessing ever again. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, this is Kenneth Richards. At the close of our program today, you'll have an opportunity to receive a favorite Voice of Prophecy gift. It's the best-selling book, Mere Christianity, by C.S. Lewis. Now here's Lonnie Melashenko with today's topic, Hiding Your Faith Behind the Gospel Blimp. But first...
Becky's pulse was up to 125. She could feel her heart pounding. Her breath began to come in short, helpless little bursts. In fact, she was almost gasping for air. Her palms had a sudden clamminess to them, and she could feel a small river of perspiration begin flowing down the small of her back. "This is ridiculous," she told herself, feeling the tightness in her throat. At this moment, the airport terminal and its crowds of people almost seemed to float in front of her as she felt a wave of dizziness. Could she do it? Could she actually go through with what she had promised to do? "I've got to do it right now," she muttered to herself. Across the terminal, she had spotted a large woman with graying hair and a big suitcase at her feet. Maybe she was the one. Trembling, Becky wiped away the new beads of perspiration on her forehead and began to walk toward the woman and her slow-moving knitting needles. "Ah! Excuse me," the words came out sounding like a croak. Her face turned a bright red. "Huh?" The lady looked up, a little bit of impatience on her face, as if to say, "Now what? Who are you?" Becky took a deep breath and tried to swallow the lump in her throat. "Do you know Jesus Christ?"
"Phew, aren't you glad that's over? What a horrible, gut-wrenching story. But you know something? I'll bet a lot of you listening today have been on a similar adventure, a church-planned witnessing trip. You take a bus to the mall or out to Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and then you're supposed to talk to people about God. Now, most people would just as soon ride out on the wing of that DC-10 all the way from Chicago to Denver as they would go up to a stranger and witness. We'd rather die. And yet, being a witness is part of the package we've been talking about this week as we look for a newly born relationship with God. Now, that kind of relationship requires three things: Bible study, prayer, and, that's right, witnessing, telling others what Jesus means to you. Maybe you've spent your whole life looking for an out, but friend, the Bible commands us to witness. One of the most famous verses about it is in Matthew 24:14, the well-known Gospel Commission. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel will be preached, the Bible says. Someone will tell the world about Jesus. Well, I know what you're tempted to say. That's right, someone will tell the world. Someone else, that's who. In fact, Pastor Lonnie, you do it. Here's $10. I'm sending this to the Voice of Prophecy. Now, you preach the gospel. I'll stay back here and pray for you. But you know, that excuse isn't going to work for two reasons. Mark chapter 5. Jesus has just healed a man who had been possessed by demons. You remember? And this man, newly freed from his chains of torment, is so grateful. He wants to stay with his new friend with the 12 disciples, who are all semi-pro preachers. But notice what Jesus says to him in verse 19. "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." We can understand why this new believer would want to stay with the Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I want to stay with you forever. And maybe even was thinking, Jesus is a wonderful preacher and healer and speaker. I'll stay with him and support him as he tells the story of salvation. You notice that Jesus doesn't let that happen. He sends the man home and says to him, no, you go and tell your friends and your family. This is your story now. You do it. You want to know some good news? First of all, Jesus makes it clear that when we witness, we simply tell others what Christ has done for us. That's all. Not a long string of proof texts or a full-length series of Bible studies, although it might come to that later. But you see, witnessing is basically telling others what Christ has done for you, what he's accomplished in your life. Notice something else. Jesus sent this man home to witness to his friends and family, to the people he already knew. Doesn't that make sense? You tell those you have a relationship with. After all, they're the ones who are interested in what's transformed you. You don't have to prowl airline terminals and bus depots and shopping malls, even though God might open an opportunity for you there as well. But your best chance to witness is one-on-one with people you're already connected to. Second point, Jesus told that newly healed man, go home and tell people what I've done for you. Tell them about us, about our new relationship. Now, here's the significance of that. Friend, you can't witness until you have something to witness about. Now, let's take a look at a couple of interesting hypothetical scenarios. Let's say we're seated at the O.J. Simpson trial in Los Angeles. The prosecution calls a witness who takes the stand. Marcia Clark says, where were you on the night in question? The witness says, I was home, in bed. Did you see anything? White Bronco, bloodstains, Cato Kalin? No, I didn't see a thing. I was asleep the whole time. Did you hear anything? Nope, didn't see anything, didn't hear anything. Judge Ito would send you out of there in a hurry, wouldn't he? Witness excused. You see, you can't be a witness unless you've experienced something. And you know, a lot of us have walked the terminal buildings of O'Hare Airport wanting to witness, and we really didn't have anything to say. Friend, until you have a relationship with Jesus, what is there to tell? Scenario number two at the O.J. trial. Marcia Clark again. Where were you on the night in question? Silence. So she tries again. Did you see anything? Hear anything? Silence. Finally, just before Judge Lance Ito cites you for contempt of court, you speak up and say, Your Honor, I'd like to be a silent witness. I want to be a testimony just by my lifestyle and my honesty. I'd really rather not say anything. I'm hoping just my presence here will be a good silent witness. Now, would that work? Well, friend, you might end up in contempt of court and maybe even be Simpson's cellmate before it's over. But huge numbers of Christians take this very approach. Let Pastor Brown do the preaching at church. Let Melashenko and Billy Graham and those guys be on radio and TV. I'll just be a silent witness, pay my taxes, keep my lawn mowed, be friendly with the neighbors. But I'm too shy to ever speak up. And we get some good ammunition for that kind of attitude from the famous poem. Do you remember it? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creed, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs. You've heard that before, haven't you? It's by Edgar A. Guest, and there is some decent truth in what he says. It's nice to see a good sermon framed in a godly life by a person who keeps the nice yard and who is kind to the neighborhood kids. But listen, friend, there comes a time when you and I need to leave our nicely mowed lawn and go over to the neighbor's house and tell them what Jesus means to us. There comes a time when we finally speak up and tell those we care about. I've got to share with you what a difference it's made to me ever since I decided to put my life in God's hands. Someone once asked, where would we be today if the Apostle Paul had been content to be just a silent witness and sew neat straight stitches on all those tents he made? Well-made tents are nice, friend, but thank God Paul opened his mouth and told the world how much Jesus Christ meant to him. Maybe you've discovered that if you read your Bible and pray and read your Bible and pray and never tell anyone the great things you're finding out, sooner or later your Christian experience will go sort of stagnant and die. It works that way. With lakes, you know, the water flows in, but it never flows out. The water goes sour, doesn't it? All the fish die. Pretty soon everything dies. But the converse is just as true. Even as a brand new baby Christian taking baby steps, if you'll speak up and tell a friend what Jesus is doing for you, even the first shreds of the good news, you'll find a renewed hunger to study and pray even more. The friendship feeds the witnessing, and the witnessing feeds the friendship. It's a beautiful circle of growth. I read a humorous story once called The Gospel Blimp. A group of Christians got together, pooled their money, and bought a blimp. They hung all kinds of Christian signs and slogans on this huge balloon. They blasted out gospel songs and sermons from the blimp's loudspeakers at 10:30 at night. They flew over people's houses and dropped gospel bombs and tracts and Bible lessons on their lawns. They were especially targeting one man they were hoping to convert. Well, after about a year, sure enough, the man did indeed become a Christian. How come, everyone wanted to know. Well, not because of the stupid blimp and the leaflets which kept gumming up his gutter spout, he told them. No, he joined the family of God because of his next-door neighbor who came over and made friends with him. This neighbor went bowling with him. He helped out when the man's wife was sick. And he finally opened his mouth and told his new friend in person how much Jesus meant to him. Ah, that's what finally did the trick.
Amen. You're right, Lonnie. It's that personal touch, that one-on-one testimony that touches lives. Friend Lonnie and I are eager for you to enjoy a book that we both love, Mere Christianity, by well-known author C.S. Lewis. For your gift of just $5 or more, we'd like to share a copy with you. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Mere Christianity and include a donation of at least $5. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us 24 hours daily at 1-800-872-0055 and use a credit card. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
Thanks, Ken. Tomorrow we'll look at what real Christian faith is and what it isn't. Our title, Petting the Wrong Dog. We really appreciate the contribution you'll give to help make it possible to send that book by C.S. Lewis to you. Until tomorrow, this is Lonnie Milashenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you, friend, that it's always true. God loves you.
As I listened to the news this week, my heart was heavy. The tales of human failure, human treachery, human pain haunted me. Stories of bombs, mad gunmen, and strange diseases. As I listened to the news, I wished I could magically transport mothers and children away from the tragedies of civil war and terrorism. I wished they could enjoy the comfort and security of life in my quiet city. But then I got to thinking, even here, in this safest of towns, life has its rude shocks. You religiously guard your health, eating right, exercising regularly. Then an auto accident or cancer destroys your body, and you're helpless. I could get discouraged. I could despair, but I don't. I remember there's more to reality than what is reported in the news or is felt by the body. God lives. Psalm 10:17-18 declares, "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more." Someone is watching, someone is taking notes, and someone will make everything right. That someone is God. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.